It's the Nahum Segal Network, and thanks for listening in, everybody. Buy the Book is brought to you by our friends at Curran Publishers. We get an opportunity each week to discuss a work in an in-depth fashion with one of the great authors brought to us by Curran Publishers. Don't forget, Curran has incredible specials all the time. Curran and Magid books are available at your local Jewish bookstore, including Jay Levine at 5 West 30th Street between Broadway and 5th Avenues in New York City, so check that out. Also, there's a commuter special that is dedicated to Maseches Yoma, to the Yoma volume in the Curran publications. Bring the Beit HaMikdash to life by studying Maseches Yoma in color. Order a subscription to the print edition of the Curran Talmud Bavli. Get a free digital edition. The digital is compatible on all mobile devices, including iPod, tablet, iPad, and more. Package has a $60 value for each volume. It's perfect for your commute to work. Go to CurranPub.com. CurranPub.com and use the promo code JM in the AM at checkout. Rabbi Hanan Ben-Ayahu is with us via telephone. He is responsible for the Curran Sidur Sfaradim. For the first time ever, Curran has released a one-of-a-kind edition of the Siddur that embraces the Nusach of every single Sephardic community in the world, including Iraqi, Syrian, Tunisian, Libyan, Yemenite, Moroccan, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese. A tremendous achievement. Modeled after the classic old Hebrew Curran Siddur, the Curran Siddur Nusach Sfaradim is a comprehensive edition that includes prayers for weekdays, Shabbat, and Chagim, the five Megillot, and the whole book of Tehillim, special editions for weddings, funerals, bar mitzvot, etc., prayers for the state of Israel and its soldiers, and much, much more. The unique Siddur is a product of years of extensive research conducted by our guest, Rabbi Hanan Ben-Ayahu, grandson of the former Sephardic Chief Rabbi of Israel, Rishon Lezion Rav Yitzchak Nissim. Throughout his research, Rabbi Ben-Ayahu mapped the customs and Nuschaot of the various communities throughout the Middle East, North Africa, Spain, and Portugal. He then located rabbinical sources that explained these rites. Once he had his data, he was then able to identify the common denominators which formed the base Nusach of this Siddur. With great pleasure, we welcome to the Nahum Segal Network, Rabbi Hanan Ben-Ayahu. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I guess the first thing we should do, and I'm somebody who's somewhat familiar with Nusach Ashkenaz because of my orientation, I guess we should explain what Nusach Sfard means when we use it as a general term, and then we can get into the specifics of what the brand new Nusach Sfaradim Siddur from Curran is all about. So juxtapose with what I know and what so many of our listeners know as Nusach Ashkenaz, what do we generally refer to as Nusach Sfard?
So Nusach Sfaradim, as we all know, all the Jews generated from Eretz Israel, and then afterwards we moved to Babel, we moved outside of Eretz Israel after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, and then the major communities were in Babel, in Babylonian. And there in the times of the Geonim, the Siddur basically was evaluated, was born into this world. The Siddur was born after different merchants and Jews that were left the communities in Babylonia and in Eretz Israel moved to Spain, to Italy, to Germany, to other communities, and sent basically questions to the Geonim about what is the way of prayers, how should we pray, what is the nusach of the prayers. And basically wanted the Geonim to formulate them the Siddur Tfilah. The earliest Siddur Tfilah we have is from Rav Netunai Gaon, then of Amram Gaon, Rav Saadia Gaon. These are the Siddurim of the Geonim that we still have in different variations in our hands. Now, the Jews that came to Spain, in every place that Jews basically came to, you mentioned Ashkenaz, I can add Italy, I can add Spain, other places in North Africa. Jews took the basis of the Geonim Siddur, and then things were started to be added to them, different piyutim, different customs, changes in words, variations. Basically, a lot of the poskei halakha throughout the generation added, changed. Also, poets added and changed things to the different nuschaot tefillah. As long as Siddurim were written by hand, as long as we're talking about eras of manuscripts, then basically there was no formulated, complete Nusach Tfilah. The Abu Draham, writes that about Tfilat Shmona Esrei, about Shmona Esrei, he says that there was a, he does not say who did it, but we know that Chassidei Ashkenaz, the first Chassidei Ashkenaz, basically counted each word and said, in this bracha should be these many words, and that bracha these many words. Basically, everything was counted very, very carefully to keep the formulation of the Siddur with no changes. But Abu Daham writes that this is what he tried to do first when he did his commentary to the Siddur. Abu Daham was the one of the pupils of the two, lived in Spain in the late 1400s. And he writes that he tried to measure and calculate the words of Tfilah, but then he saw that there is no one place in the world that says the same exact nusach. The Mabit, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Yosef Mitirani, which was the Bar Plukta of Maran, of Rabbi Yosef Karo, Baal HaShulchan Aruch, he writes, even though that there are so many changes, the roots of Tfilah stayed the same. Nevertheless, we know that even communities in Spain had so many different variations. And then after the expulsion from Spain, in Turkey itself, there were 36 different communities, but each one had a minor difference, or some had more differences, some less differences in their Siddur Tfilah. Afterwards, not just in Turkey, Jews moved from Spain, came back to the east, to the area of Baghdad, of Syria, went to North Africa, to all different places. And since the Jewry of Spain was so prominent, Bittalmidei Chachamim, any place that they came to, their Siddur that was already, mind you, this is the time that printing press basically started in that area in the late 1400s. So the Jews in Spain already had a printing press that printed few Siddurim. That could be one of the reasons why we call it Nusach HaSfaradim, because basically the ancient Nusach of the Jews in the East, of the Mizrahi Jews, is very different from the Nusach we have today of the Sfaradim.
Right.
So why do we call it Nusach HaSfaradim?
Right.
Because this is based on the Nusach that the Sephardim brought with them from Spain, and very, very quickly their Nusach took over the other community's Nusach.
Right.
Now, what happened?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I just want to make sure that is there a distinction then within what we call Nusach Sephard? In other words, there are plenty of people today who who daven, who pray Nusach Sephard. Are there two different types of Nusach Sephard, or is all the one?
Very, very good question. So the next thing after the expulsion from Spain also was the time that the Kabbalah was flourishing. The time of the Ari HaKadosh, the Ramak, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, and other big Mekubalim in the time of Tzfat. And the Mekubalim, basically Ari, adopted most of the Sfardi Siddur, even though that he himself went to pray with the Ashkenazim in Yamim Noraim. And had basically his Siddur was a mixture, even though mostly based on the Sephardi Nusach, a mixture of a little bit some Ashkenazi customs that came into the Siddur, to the Sephardi Siddur. Afterwards, the Hasidim, Baal Shem Tov, and after the Baal HaTanya and other Hasidim basically converted the Nusach from being the Ashkenaz Nusach. They wanted to go according to the Ari writings, and the Ari writings are holding the Sephardi Siddur is more accurate, is more nachon, al derech HaKabbalah, al derech HaSod, according to the ways of Kabbalah. Therefore, they adopted the Nusach Sfaradi. So they called it Nusach Sfarad, basically, because this is the Nusach of the Sephardi Jews. Yet, we know that the Nusach Sfarad, what they call Nusach Sfarad, is basically an Ashkenaz Nusach with some additions to meet the requirements of the Ari's pupils' writings. That's why they call it Nusach Sfarad, but it's still very different from the Sephardi Nusach.
Ah, okay. So when we are told halachically that those who pray Nusach Sfarad should do a certain thing in their tefillah, that probably is talking about real Nusach Sfarad as opposed to the one that you just described for us.
Yes, the one, the basically, when there is differences between Nusach Sfarad and Nusach Sefaradim, or Nusach Ashkenaz, or between, mainly between Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfarad, then these differences are basically were based on the Sephardi Minhagim, for the Jews who came from Spain.
Right. So when I walk into a shul in Brooklyn, and I'm not talking about a Syrian shul, I'm talking about a what seems to be an Ashkenazic shul in Brooklyn, but they're davening Nusach Sfarad, that's essentially what you're describing, is that Nusach was an offshoot of Nusach Ashkenaz that was adjusted accordingly. And those people might be from Hungary, those people might be from Poland, so they're davening what many call Nusach Sfarad, but it's not the Nusach Sfaradim that you're referring to.
Exactly. Because it's just based on the Nusach of the Sephardim.
So if we're instructed that those who daven Nusach Sfarad should only say to a certain point in a Haftorah, that's probably referring to Nusach Sfaradim.
Sometimes. And sometimes there are unique customs that have to do with the Hasidic community. For instance, Nusach Sfarad, say in Kabbalat Shabbat, they say Kegavna instead of Bamed Madlikin.
Correct.
Now, Bamed Madlikin is being recited by all Sephardi communities and not Kegavna. Kegavna is an idea, is a part of the Zohar that Rabbi Emanuel Chayriki, the author of Sefer Mishnat Hasidim, he recommended highly to say that part of the Zohar in addition to Bamed Madlikin and Erev Shabbat. What happened was in the years that the Hasidic communities basically dropped the Bamed Madlikin, which is in a very, very old custom, and just are saying Kegavna. And meanwhile, the Sephardi Jews do not say Kegavna. So you have another example where Ashkenaz and Sephardim are saying basically the same thing, saying Bamed Madlikin. Anusach Sfarad says Kegavna.
So that...
In other examples, you can see many times that Nusach Sfarad is based on the Sephardi Nusach, but there's different in different things. Sometimes they're really based on Hasidic customs, but mainly based on the Sephardi Nusach.
So when it comes to Bava Medlikin, the Nusach Sfaradim is closer to Nusach Ashkenaz, and it's funny because as somebody who davens Nusach Ashkenaz exclusively throughout his entire life, I would have thought for sure Kegavna is something that the Nusach Sfaradim would pick up on and would say every Friday night. So it's funny you mentioned that. Rabbi Hanan Ben Ayahu is with us. The Koran Sidur Sfaradim is our focus on this edition of By the Book. So the goal then, if I read this correctly, the goal then in terms of this specific work is to incorporate as many of those Sephardic customs in one volume, under one roof, so to speak.
Yes, indeed. That was the real. That's the intention of this sidur. And let me say a few words about that issue.
Sure.
Since there were so many communities around the diaspora of the Jews that left Spain, that were expelled from Spain, then each community, not all of them were incorporated with the same chachamim. Not all of the communities were incorporated between each another. And there was a lot of different chachamim that wrote about the Sidur Tfilah, that commented on the Sidur Tfilah, that changed the Sidur Tfilah. And not in all communities, the changes were the same. Some communities, the big communities, they followed the Mekubalim, followed the Ari custom. Other communities did not follow the Ari customs, followed the old Sephardi Minhag. So slowly, slowly, we have a map that we can say that by the 17th, 18th century, there's, or 19th century, all the more so, there's basically, you can view three main branches. You can see the Western Sephardi that is heavily, heavily influenced by Kabbalah. You can see the Western Sephardi that is influenced by Kabbalah, but in a minor way. You can see also the Spanish Portuguese that are not influenced by Kabbalah. And if I'm directing it to different printing area, if you take the prayer books that were printed in Amsterdam, they have no Kabbalah whatsoever, almost. The Gulim that were printed in Livorno are heavy with Kabbalah, but not in the Nusach itself, more in the commentary of the Nusach, and also as an addition. And if you take the Sidurim of the Eastern Sephardi, especially after the time of the Rashash, Mekubale Bet El, the Chida, and mostly after the Ben Yishai, then you have a Sidur that is heavily influenced by Kabbalah. What we try to do is, since that, with all the differences, in the end of the day, there is one Nusach. All the Jews, all these different communities came to Israel, and in the beginning of the established, when the state of Israel was established, basically there was one or two big printers that printed a Sephardi Siddur. Both of them did it according to the Iraqi Jews' Nusach. What happened in the last few years is that many other communities went back, researched their own old customs, and put out Siddurim according to their own customs, according to their own minagim. Now, what we tried to do, we said, in the end of the day, there are so many differences, but in the other hand, there's not so many differences. If we look at it in a big perspective, we see that there's many words that are different, but the seder is basically the same seder. There's few words in each page that some say the Abinav Eskel, some say the Abinav Eskel, some say Chochma Binah Vadat. Not major differences. So what we try to do is, first of all, explain all these differences. Explain not just only Nusach and Minhag, but really go on each part of the Tfilah, from the sources, from the Mishnah, Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim, to explain the idea of the Tfilah, when was it established, why is it before that part, why is it after that part. Afterwards, we also explain the different nuschal, the different variations that occurred during the different generation, how things changed, why suddenly it became Chochma Bina Vadat after it was the Abina Vaskel, why Moroccans say Bracha on the Hallel even in Rosh Chodesh, the other Sephardim, the Eastern Sephardim do not say Bracha on the Hallel, the Western Sephardim say Bracha on the Hallel when we say Chag Hallel, like in the Chol HaMoed Pesach or in Rosh Chodesh, to give really an explanation and to basically help all these communities that now are not single communities like a Lebanese Jews or Syrian Jews or Iraqi Jews, but communities that are basically going according to Sephardi Nusach, but have all the people in the congregation are basically, some are from Morocco, some are from Iraq, some are from Iran, some are from Syria, and to give them a Siddur that would be good for the whole community.
When we hear the words Edot HaMizrach, that means from what country?
So Edot HaMizrach is basically Syria, Baghdad, Iran, all the Eastern Sephardi communities. And but within themselves, there's also differences. Not big differences, not massive differences, but there are differences.
So we just hear of that one because it won the popularity contest. It's one of the ones stuck out.
Exactly. So in the Siddur, in order not to be too heavy, meaning to say that in every page will give 20 different versions, we took the main version of the Sephardim that is today, is basically according to Kehilot HaMizrach. And then in the end of the Siddur, we gave explanation on the different Nusachaot, and if there is a major difference within a certain paragraph of Tfilah, so we brought the two Nusachaot. And besides that, we explained, like you could see in the Ashkenaz and Sephardis Koran Siddur that was edited by Rabbi David Fuchs, which is the head of the Bet Midrash, was completely a full partner in cooperating the Sephardi Siddur with me. We basically gave also a lot of explanations about the tefillah, the origins of tefillah, not just questions to do with this version or this version, but tefillah bichlal, the idea of tefillah, the ideas of each part of the tefillah.
So Nusach Ari is very close to what I know as Nusach Sfard, and Nusach...
Yes, I know. Again, yes, I know. More if you going according to the writings of the Ari, that more and more of them were revealed, and if you're going not through the Hasidic route, you see that actually the Sephardi Nusach is much closer to Nusach Avi. Chabad is closer than the Hasidim to Nusach Avi, and Hasidim has basically adopted some major changes to the Ari put, but not not as much Chabad, and definitely much of the Sephardim. But if you compare it to Ashkenaz, then definitely Nusach Sfarad is much closer to the Ari than Nusach Ashkenaz.
Rabbi Hanan ben Ayahu is with us talking about the current Sidur Sfaradim. Is it safe to say, based on what we've been discussing the last few minutes, is it safe to say that there is a real thread, a real common thread through all of the Nusach Sfarad, even the one that I know as the common Nusach Sfarad, and if there's an aberration, if there is a Nusach that's really off the beaten path of this common thread, it would be Nusach Ashkenaz. Would that be an accurate statement to make?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part of your question.
Well, and if there would be an aberration, if there's a Nusach that's really off the beaten path of the majority of Nuschaot, it would be Nusach Ashkenaz. Does that make sense or not?
Is Nusach Ashkenaz is being closest to all the other Nuschaot?
No,
is that what you're asking?
No, the opposite. In other words, it sounds like there's such a common thread between all the Nuschae Sfaradim that Nusach Ashkenaz is really the aberration. It's really the uncommon one, as common as it is to someone like myself. It's really the most uncommon one in the world of tefillah.
Well, percentage-wise, I cannot tell you how common and how many people are davening Ashkenaz. I think that you're right, though. But Nusach Ashkenaz is basically more pure. What do I mean by more pure? Less changes were done throughout the generations. Mm-hmm. There is a fine thread from Machzor Vitri, the first Ashkenazi prayer book, still today, with Nusach Ashkenaz. As for Nusach Sfaradim, had two big changes. The first of all was the Eastern Jews that adopted the Sephardi Nusach, and then with all the flourishing of the Kabbalah that influenced a lot Sidur Tefillah, and then the Chida and the Rashash also influenced the Sidur Tefillah, and then the Ben Yishai is much more, if you want to put it, is a much more alive Nusach, but much more changes as of Nusach Ashkenaz is more pure. I can compare Nusach Ashkenaz in a way to the old Yemenite Nusach, the Baladi Nusach. There are some Yemenites also adopted the Nusach Sfaradim, and they're called the Shamim. But they are the Baladim. The Baladim kept their own Nusach for many years, and you can see this fine thread that connects it to the old of Maimonides of Rambam. The Yemenite congregation took off during.
What have our brethren from Ethiopia adopted?
That's a very, very, very good question. The Ethiopian Jewry was disconnected from the Masoret Halacha and for 2,000 years, and it's today we took the Sephardi Nusach of the Sidur, basically the Sephardi Nusach that we put out, and today we got from the printers already, we had a whole team that translated the Sephardi Sidur to Amharic, and today Kohen produced the one and only Amharic Sidur that has prayers for all the year, meaning to say Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, Chol, Piyutim, in translation to Amharic. Now, why did we do it with the Sephardi Nusach and not with the Nusach Ashkenaz? Since Rav Ovadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was one of the biggest poskim that pushed to say that the Ethiopian Jews are Jewish and they should be accepted as Jewish with all this or the Giyur L'Chumra, whatever, but as Jews. And he was the rabbi when the whole question rose up. And according to the Ashkafa of Rav Ovadia, everybody should follow Nusach Sfaradim, because we all know that Maran HaShulchan Aruch was Mara De'atra in Eretz Yisrael, and we should all follow, all Jews in Eretz Yisrael should follow the customs and the psakim of the Shulchan Aruch, who was a Sephardi Jew. Therefore, when he was chief rabbi, he said that they should be taught the Sephardi Nusach. Also, to be honest, in terms of the high holidays, the Sephardi Piyutim are much simpler to understand also, and for all other reasons. And that's why the Ethiopian Jews today were educated, since they came to Israel, to daven Nusach Sfaradim. But Rabbi Lubman, which was one of the people that really was very involved with bringing the Ethiopian Jews, and is one of the editors of these Amharic Koran Sidu, that in the beginning they davened Nusach Ashkenaz, Ethiopia, when they were preparing them to come to Eretz Yisrael. Later on, Rav Ovadia gave this psak, and they started teaching them, educating them with the Sephardi Nusach.
Rabbi,
the Ethiopian Jews is completely different. In origins, we actually put in the Amharic Koran Sidu, we put a whole section with old Ethiopian prayers. They were all said by the priests, the congregation, and the congregants used to basically sit and answer things like amen or something, but not say the actual prayer. Was said in Gez and in the special language, the holy language they use, and is a difference completely. We cannot compare it to any other this community, not to Italian Jews, Portuguese, Yemenite, all the other different special Nusachim is much more closer to each other than the... they didn't have Shmona Esrei, they didn't have Kriyat Shma, that they say we're not the
do. Rabbi Hanan Ben Ayahu was with us live via telephone, a fascinating discussion about the Koran Sidur Sfaradim. It is available and it's quite amazing. So would you be shocked if a new Nusach, or if some type of version of a Nusach we're used to, would be, you know, discovered today? Would that be shocking?
You mean to say whether, if we might find a new Nusach that we didn't know about?
Yeah, I mean, is that possible? Like, what's the most recent Nusach of all those that you examined? Which is the most recent one to be discovered by those in our times?
Okay, so I know that now a few people are working again on one of the Geonim Sidu, a little bit later than the Geonim, Rabbi Shlomo Bar Natan Sidu Rashban. Dr. Nissim Sabato is working on that, and there is very old manuscript of a Sidu that was found in the Afghanic Geniza that was just revealed a year ago, 2 years ago, and they found the Sidu there. I believe that it's still going to be very, very similar to the Siduim we have today. Because our Siduim are basically, they are driven from those ancient Siduim. So I will be very, very surprised if there will be a Sidu that will be shockingly different. I don't think we'll find any of these. Even the Aleppo Sidu was not, that was printed in Venice, with all the big differences still, has Kriyat Shema, has Shmona Esrei, has Birkot HaShachar, there's a massive differences. But if you're looking at it, like trying to put the pieces, there is Birkot HaShachar, there is Pesukei DeZimra, there is Kriyat Shema, there is Shmona Esrei, there is Tachanun, there is Asher, there is Zohar Letzion, v'chule v'chule. With many, many, many differences, the Piyutim are completely different than anything that we know, but still, you can see from far away, if you look from up, you can see that basically it's all Very much the same. They're all driven from the times of Mishnah, Talmud, and mostly from the times of Geonim. And then within the generation, things were added. We in Koren, we try to give a view of all those changes, all this evaluation of the Sidur in the last part of the Sidur. There's an halachic guide. The halachic guide is not just a dry halacha, but we try to basically, again, bring things from the source, explain the different psakim of the shonim, achronim, the whole debates, the minagim, and tfilot, in a very abbreviated way, but we were very, very careful to bring accurate mekorot. So a person that just want to know abbreviation, what happened, why is Kachma like this, why Ashkenazim say Ahava Rabbah in Shachit, and Sephardim say Ahavat Olam in Shachit. All these different questions, we have, we related to them in the halachic guide, and then there's like almost 1,000 different small paragraphs, 1,000 halachot we call them, to do with the sidur tefillah and to do with the halachot and minhagim have to do with the Jewish calendar, and in each halacha we gave an abbreviation of the history of you know how this thing happened, what are the different customs. And we wrote next to each thing the sources. That a person that wants to look more in depth can go directly to the sources.
And the halacha guide that you mentioned is simply amazing. Rabbi Hanan ben Eyal is with us. Before I let you go, there are a couple of questions I must ask. This is, I guess this is somewhat on the topic of halacha. Not, I don't know if you do or don't address it in the halachic guide, but what does halacha teach us about the authenticity or about the importance of being consistent regarding one's nusach? In other words, we are often taught, or at least we were as kids, we are taught that if you're in a minyan that is, you know, praying a certain nusach, you should pray that nusach even if it's not your own. That you're, if you're listening to Kedusha, you should answer in the nusach of the home synagogue, so to speak, as opposed to your own. Nonetheless, based on this discussion, it sounds like maybe it wouldn't be so bad if one privately prayed a certain nusach, even in another nusach's environment. What could you tell me halachically about those guidelines?
Your question is a marvelous question. I think this is something that I'm dealing with all the time, in my mind at least. Now we are back in Israel. All the different diasporas are getting together. We are Jews. What type of custom should we go? Should we continue to have all these small congregations, all the different customs, which is on one hand beautiful. We continue on. We're preserving all the customs of our fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, there's something so beautiful of all the Jews are going to combine together and become one big community with the same Siddur Tefillah, with the same prayers. So we know that in the Galut, all the Poskim wrote in a very strong way, Al Titosh Torat Imecha, that prayers should not be changed, the custom should not be changed, custom could be changed only if all the congregation agrees. And there are questions, even the Maharil writes that you can't change the tunes of that Tefillah. People not always knew how to daven. They knew things according to the tune. Not everybody knew Hebrew. Not everybody knew, not everybody held the siddur. Not everybody knew how to read. The idea of keeping the tefillah constant, that people would know what's doing, and to keep the minagim, the custom of the ancestor, was extremely, extremely important. Nevertheless, also the chida, which was a big mikubal and had a tremendous influence on the siddur tefillah, he writes that this is pashut lechatchila. Lechatchila, everybody should continue with his nusach avotav. But in terms of latzet yedei chova, there is no question or doubt that if you daven according to the Italian, the Rome nusach, or the Ashkenaz nusach, or the Sephard nusach, or Sephardi nusach, or the Yemenite nusach, baru that you've been yotzei yedei chova. Baru that you fulfilled the mitzvah of tzila. But nevertheless, they're saying that the chachila person should continue with his custom. So this question is a big question that I think needs to be asked by maybe Gdolei Ador, even though I'm not sure that they'll all agree. And for the meantime, we are basically continuing with this psak, and people continue with their new psak with Nagin. And yeah, it's a big question. What do you try to strive to, whether to make it one big united Nusach or to continue and preserve the old minagim that were very important.
And Rabbi Benayahu, you made me feel good that I'm someone who davens Nusach Ashkenaz only because of the closeness that you described that it has to its original. I often am told by friends of mine who daven Nusach Sfard that the Sephardic tradition is a much more beautiful tefillah. They often, I'm saying in terms of adjectives and in terms of adverbs that are used within tefillah, and they always point to, for instance, we say Shema Koleinu. In the Nusach Sfard, they start Av Harachaman Shema Koleinu, a more, you know, personal plea. I'm giving you one example out of what we could probably, you know, go through thousands if we had the time to do so. But I'm looking specifically at Barech Aleinu. And while we in the Nusach Ashkenaz essentially change a few words in Barech Aleinu, depending rather on the time of year that it is, you have a separate bracha that has been established, one that is said during the winter and one that is said during the spring and summer. What can we learn or what comment can be made about Nusach Sfard if a completely separate bracha has been established in Shmona Esrei?
What you're asking is a very good question. In the Sephardi Minhag, in all Sephardi Minhag, in all the different diasporas of the Sephardi, even within Spain itself, there was also basically two brachot, one for the winter and one for the summer. Now, it's not two brachot completely. If you see the end of the bracha,
right,
the chatima is exactly the same.
Right.
But the nusach for asking for rain is much longer. The difference it's also driven from the Sidur HaGeonim. In the Sidur HaGeonim, it says that in the days of the rain in the winter, you should add more bakashot about the tvuah, the agriculture, the fruit and everything. The Abu Draham, he brings one long bracha that is also for the whole year. And in that bracha, basically, that you say in the summer and in the winter, and that's different than what we see, even though the Abu Draham is like the leader of the Sidur Sephardi Sidur Tfilah, he has one bracha, the long bracha, for winter and summer. And it says that this year should be blessed with rains, without saying, without differentiating between summer and winter. And then the Abu Dham brings more to minagim that the Sephardi minhag that there is two different brachot. In the winter there is a long bracha that starts with Baruch Aleinu, which is the version of Rav Saadia Gaon. And in the kites, in the summer, there is a shorter version of Barechenu. And now, and he says that there are people that says the same nusach and only changes between Tal and Geshem. Yet again, this is basically started with probably one bracha that had a few words about the Geshem, and then it became a longer and a longer bracha. It's interesting if you'll see the tool is bringing the special bracha that the in Ashkenaz they used to say when there was no rain, when there was a drought, and it's very similar. Some sentences are basically almost the same, like the Sephardi long bracha for in the days of the rain. So yeah, this. You can see if you go back in time, you'll see different brachot that basically words were added, sentences were added, changed. You'll see in Birkat HaMinim, you'll see in Birkat HaDat, in many brachot. This one is unique that basically it became such a difference already, so much more
right.
Content that it seems to be like two different brachot. But basically it's one bracha that has basically two versions.
And humor me with one more of these curiosities. We talk about the consistency, and you've made an amazing point, even when you include Nusach Ashkenaz, about how format is so consistent, and how language, especially in the very important parts of Tefillah, speaking of Shemona Esrei, are rather consistent, maybe with, again, with the different adjectives and words of description, but essentially the same format. How is it, in your opinion, that when it comes to Kedusha of Shabbos and the Shalosh Regalim, how is it that we as Ashkenazim end up with a specific type of introduction to the Kedusha, in our case, Naritzcha, and in the case of the majority of the Sephardic customs, they begin with Keter Yitnu Lecha. How is it that there's such a vast difference in the approach to the beginning of Kedusha?
That's interesting what you're asking. The Kedusha had few versions. It had Keter as Nekadesh, and also, see, it's interesting that Nusach HaRambam is much closer to Nusach Ashkenaz today. Nusach HaRambam and the Balad Yemenite Nusach, but they say the same long Kedusha all the week, not just in Shabbat. Keter is a Kedusha that the Sephardim say only in Shabbat, and the Italian Jew says all the week, all the time. So basically, you can see that there were a few nuschaot that that basically were slowly constructed. And then in different congregation, a different kedusha was recited. And in some of the congregations, you see that in Shabbat and Yom Chol, there was a different kedusha. And in some congregations, in Shabbat and Chol, there is no different Kedusha. The, for instance, the Ari, he preferred the Nusach of Nakdishach v'Naritzach, and he writes to say this the whole week, not to change. Besides, in Tfilat Musaf, then there is Keter. According to the Kabbalah, there is a whole thing about the Keter, that Dafka in Shabbat, Dafka in the times that we can say Tfilat Musaf, then there's Gilui B'chinat HaKeter, and etc. But this is, again, it's not major. It looks to us to be major. But if we think about it and we see that for so many years, so many congregations, so many decrees, programs, so many things that change communities completely, move them from one place to the other, and then in the end to come with a Nusach that is basically 99% of the Jewish world, besides maybe the Ethiopian, and to come with something that is basically very, very, very similar. Now, about the Kedusha, I wanted to add another point that we should remember that in the olden times, in Eretz Yisrael, each Shabbat had a different Kedusha because of a different piyut. But that we're going like in the times of more than 1,000 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, and that's a completely different story.
Unbelievable. This conversation is incredible. The work you've done is unbelievable, Rabbi Benayahu. Oh, by the way, before I let you go, so why don't certain Torah giants affiliated with certain Nusra'ot, why do they not recommend saying a bracha before Hallel?
Okay, so the question is the bracha before Hallel. Dafka, we're talking obviously in when we say Chatzi Hallel.
Okay.
The Rambam says in Ilchot Chanukah in Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin that we do not say a bracha on the Hallel because it's a custom, and you do not say and it's not being recited only. And according to the Rambam, it's only being recited in a minyan, and you don't say a bracha on the minhag. As opposed to the Rambam, the Rif and Rabbeinu Yonah says that in public, in the Tzibur, in the Minyan, there is a bracha, but if somebody recites it yachid, there is no bracha. That's why in North Africa, Spanish Portuguese, when we recite Chatzi Halel, only the Chazan says the bracha. And Rashi had a very interesting psak. Rashi didn't used to say a bracha on the Halel, the regular bracha. He would say the bracha, basically Baruch Shamar, not the beginning of Baruch Shamar, but from Baruch Atah Hashem Ril Cholam, Ela Varachaman, Ameulal Befe Amo, it's like a bracha on praise to Hashem, and not Asher Kedishan Tzotav Tzivanu Likot Halel, because the Tzivuri for the Halel, according to the Gemara, is only in 18 days that a person finishes a full Halel. The days that the custom to say half Halel is not a Din Mukhlat. and it's mitorat minhag, and therefore there is no and therefore in when people say half a list, according to the Sefer, according to the Rambam, they should not recite a bracha. The Ramban has a fourth shita, and he says that in Rosh Chodesh you do not say a bracha. Again, because it's a minag. But in Chol HaMoed Pesach, when we say half a lel and Shvi'isha Pesach, since it's a moed, we do say a bracha on it. And Rabbeinu Tam says that we always say a bracha on the halel. So Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch writes that the minag, the custom in Eretz Israel v'svivotea, she'en mevarchim al halel kedat haRambam. That's why he writes. So Rav Ovadia Yosef Zichrono Livracha, when all the Jews started the time that, after Medinat Yisrael was established and a lot of Jews came, so when he be when he was a chief rabbi of Israel, maybe even earlier than that, and his psakim says that in Eretz Yisrael we should follow Da'at Maran. And Maran, Shulchan Aruch, writes that the custom in Eretz Yisrael and around Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael v'sivotea, she'en mevarchim al halel kedat haRambam. According to what the Rambam says, that they not say abracha alalim. Therefore, they should did not say abracha alalim. Now, other rabbis, like Gaon, Rabbi Shalom Nassaf, the chief rabbi, he was a rabbi from Morocco, then he became the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, was a big, big Gaon. Rav Ovadia brought him from Morocco, asked him to agree to be the chief rabbi of Jerusalem and the Av Batei Adin, Rosh Avot Batei Adin. And he said, no, we should continue the minhag, the Moroccan minhag that we did in Chutz La'aretz, to say a bracha even on half halel. Rav Amar, who is also Moroccan, held like Rav Ovadia, that they should not say the halel. Until this very day, there are tshuvot again and again, every few months or years or something like that. There's a whole discussion whether people, Western Sephardi Jews that came to Eretz Israel should say Halel or not say Halel. And that's like basically an argument that is continuing for hundreds of years.
Fascinating. Unbelievable. Where are you from, by the way?
So I was born in Eretz Israel. My father, Alav Shalom, was born in Eretz Israel. My grandfather came from Baghdad. In my mother's side, her ancestors were from Baghdad, moved to Bombay, from Bombay to England, from England to Eretz Israel. My wife is American. She's from the Five Towns, actually. And, so we are like, so my kids are mixed from all over.
Amazing. Rabbi Benayahu, this has been an incredible conversation for me. Thank you so much for joining us. Mazal Tov on the brand new Sidur Koren Nusach Sfaradim. It is simply amazing. I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All the best, and thank you.
Rabbi Hanan Benayahu, incredible. Those of you who are looking for just an unbelievable work when it comes to the Nusach HaSfaradim, the Koren Sidur HaSfaradim, as Rabbi Hanan Benayahu described for us, in any discussion on Sephardic Jewry, it's essential to distinguish between the Eastern Mizrahi Jews and the Western Sephardic Jews. The Mizrahi Jews lived in the eastern portion of the Middle East, known as the Mizrach, or Mizrahi, or Edota Mizrach, while Western Sephardic Jews came from Spain and Portugal. The rites, customs, and prayers all have nuances and unique characteristics. Now, for the first time, Koren has released a one-of-a-kind edition of the Sidur that embraces the Nusach of every single Sephardic community in the world, including Iraq, Syria, Tunisia, Libya, Yemen, Morocco, Italy, Spain, Portugal. Indeed, it's a tremendous achievement. Modeled after the classic old Hebrew Koren Sidur, the Koren Sidur Nusach Sfaradim is a comprehensive edition that includes prayers for weekdays, Shabbat and Chagim, the five Megillot, the whole book of Tehillim, special editions for weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs, prayers for the State of Israel and its soldiers, special piyutim for Shabbatot, Hoshanot, and the entire Slichos service for Elul. Fascinating explanation of these prayers line the pages throughout the Sidur in Hebrew, enhancing the reader's appreciation of the prayers and piyutim. A detailed halachic guide presents the variety of customs of different Sephardic communities, tracing the evolution of these rites from their earliest rabbinical source to the applications seen throughout the world today. This unique Sidur is the product of years of extensive research conducted by Rabbi Hanan Benayahu, grandson of the former Sephardic chief rabbi Rishon Litzion Rav Yitzchak Nissim. Throughout his research, Rabbi Benayahu mapped the customs and nuscho to the various communities throughout the Middle East, North Africa, Spain, and Portugal. He then located rabbinical sources that explained these rites. Once he had the ethnographic data, he was then able to identify the common denominators which formed the base nusach of this siddur. Working with the Koran scholars of Piyutim, he adapted his finds to the Koran style and added a rich tapestry of sources. With Haskamot by Chief Rabbi Shlomo Amar, or by Shimon Chai Aluf, or by Baruch Gigi, and an introduction by Chaim Sabato, you will enjoy this work. It is really incredible. I remind you that all Koran and Magid books are available at Jewish bookstores everywhere, including J. Levine at 5 West 30th Street between Broadway and 5th Avenues in New York City. There's a commuter special. It'll allow you to bring the Beit HaMikdash to life by studying Maseches Yoma in color. If you order a subscription to the print edition of the Koran Talmud Bavli, you get a free digital edition, which is compatible on all mobile devices, including iPod, tablet, iPad, and more. It's a $60 per volume package, perfect for your commute to work. Go to KorenPub.com and use the promo code JM in the AM at checkout. Again, that's KorenPub.com. Use the promo code JM in the AM at checkout. It is really an amazing and incredible shas. And I thank Rabbi Benayahu for this fascinating conversation today. Nusach Sfaradim Sidur from Koran Publications. Check it out at KorenPub.com. It is an incredible and amazing work. I thank all of you for tuning in, listening in, and joining us for another edition of Buy the Book. If you're listening on a Tuesday, it's the first run of the Buy the Book segment for this week. Repeated other times during the week, but you could find us in our original form Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time right here at the Nachum Segal Network. Buy the Book, brought to you by Koran Publications. Go to KoranPub.com. And thanks for joining us here at NachumSegal.com and JMandTheAM.org. ¶¶